Welcome to the Rainy Day Rabbit Holes podcast, your escape from the mundane.
Dive into the rich history of the Pacific Northwest with us and let your mind wander down the rabbit hole.
Because in the Northwest, it's always raining something weird. I am Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
Welcome back to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes.
I don't know if you've noticed, but we are kind of on a Tacoma kick this month. Well, in keeping with that theme, we have a Tacoma celebrity in our studio with us today.
Chris Staudinger is the founder of Pretty Gritty Tours, a tour company that digs deep into the history and stories of Tacoma, Olympia, and now the Tri-Cities. Jody, have I ever mentioned Pretty Gritty Tours on the show?
Well, I was thinking that we finally got our victim in our sights here. We've been stalking him for months.
I feel like I get a Google alert every time you guys put a podcast up.
We make sure even when we guest on other shows, we mention you.
Welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Are you scared a little?
A little. You didn't tell me it's going to be in this space.
Yeah, we've locked him in the studio.
We did initially dub this the Kill Room. I think we've abandoned that name.
No, I like it. It's got a good vibe to it.
So Chris is a true Renaissance man. Not only did he spend over 10 years as an investigative travel writer, visiting more than 60 countries.
Yeah, I think we're up to 65 now.
Nice. He has his captain's license.
Oh, true. Wow. You did do a deep dive. Mm-hmm.
He's a blacksmith. He does archery, is into something called extreme cooking, which you'll have to explain to us, is a cartographer?
Yeah, well said.
Cartographer,
I dabble in cartography.
He dabbles in cartography, runs a successful tour company, and also manages to be a dad and a husband.
Wow, yeah. No, when you lay it all out. If I figure it out, I'll let you know. I honestly don't know.
Have I missed any other fantastic hobbies or past jobs?
I mean, we don't have time for that. I think you did a beautiful summation. Those are all the good ones.
That's Chris in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's much deeper than that, but good grief.
He's lived six lives already. Chris is more than a tour guide. He is a Tacoma ambassador. In his amazing tours, he gives participants true insight to the gritty history of Tacoma and a new appreciation for the grit city. Shay and I have had two tours with Chris so far, Stadium High School and Old Fort Steilacoom, and came away with glowing new information. His love and passion for Tacoma, for history in general, really comes through in his tours. What is your favorite tour that you give or have ever given?
What an impossible question. I always tell people Stadium High School is the most iconic because the building is extraordinary. I'm going to be a fan of the Ghost Tour. I think a ghost tour is the perfect introduction to any city.
On that topic, when we took the Stadium High School tour, which I highly recommend to everybody, I was so excited to do that tour. I loved every second of it. You told a pretty chilling story about an experience that you had. Maybe that was the thing that made you a believer. I don't know.
It definitely propelled me into the world of belief.
Okay. And so that was going to be where my question was going, is are you a believer in ghosts and some supernatural spookiness?
I think everybody to some degree believes in ghosts. I start every ghost tour asking where you are on your spectrum of belief. And even if you don't have this like image in your head of what a ghost is out there interacting with you, everybody believes in the mysteriousness of the ghost or the like story of retribution. So to answer your question, I believe that there are things out there beyond understanding.
That's a good explanation. That might be more where I lean to. I believe that there may be some things out there that can't be explained by science, but most of the time I think a lot of these encounters can be explained by science.
I mean, the science of ghost hunting, isn't that a ghostology?
I don't think that that's widely recognized as
as a discipline. You can't take it as an elective.
Chris, that's a career you haven't started yet.
Yeah, well, I'm still young. There's time.
Chris, what I want to know is why a tour company? Why is this where your life has led you?
I couldn't escape it. I was called to this. My first tour company was when I was 9 in Leavenworth. And I started just offering tours around town to the influx of tourists. and never really got away from it. I just like to discover and then share.
So I just have this image of 9-year-old Chris just wandering down the streets of Leavenworth and just stopping random groups of tourists and then giving them a tour.
I mean,
maybe not consensually.
I'm a king of consent. Please don't get me canceled today. I used to just be in Leavenworth as a child, and because I was always exploring around and knew a bunch of stuff, if you just positioned yourself downtown, inevitably someone would ask you for, like, where do we park? Where's the bratwurst place? And then I'd be like, oh, well, here's the answer to that. But also, for $5, I could take you on a quick tour of this. And 9 out of 10 times they said, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Where was your parental supervision at this time?
It was the 90s.
That's true. Like,
they just assumed I'd be okay.
It was Leavenworth. It's completely safe.
Yeah, true.
So how about you give us a sampling of some of the tours that you provide?
So we have anything that the mind can conjure. We have ghost tours and beer tours and coffee tours, historic tours of buildings like Stadium High School and the Foss Waterway Seaport. We have haunted tours. We have more historically leaning tours. Everything in the region that you can think of, we probably offer it.
I saw at some point maybe you do some paddleboard tours of Foss Waterway. Is that still happening?
That's true, yeah. Paddleboard tours, kayak tours. We have a bike tour that we can offer. And really the greatest limitation we have is time. So,
sure.
You know, and the seasonability of some things can be a limit too.
Sure.
No one wants to take a December bike tour in Tacoma.
Maybe next summer I can get on board and lead some of your paddleboard tours, because I'm pretty good paddleboard teacher, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't know that about you.
I love to paddleboard, and the few people that I have instructed do much better and then never fall in. And that is the trick. When people are like, I don't want to get in that water, I was like, well, then don't fall in.
Oh, that's good advice.
I'll show you how to not fall in.
Till the boat goes by.
Nope, you still don't fall in.
All right.
She will not paddleboard with me on the Foss Waterway. She says no because a boat might go by.
I'll kayak, but I'm not standing up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I respect your limits.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Well, I could teach you about consent.
Well, I have said I will not consent to playing pickleball with her until she paddleboards with me on the Foss Waterway. This is weird, an impasse.
Nowhere near as dangerous.
You need to commit to pickleball.
When she commits to paddleboarding on the Foss Waterway.
Oh, I see.
I have a lot of people play pickleball with Shay.
I'll play pickleball with somebody else.
Ooh,
just not her.
Ooh, she just got dirty.
Shots fired. Unbelievable.
Do you have any new tours that you're adding coming up?
Yeah, we have a 1930s themed noir tour that's going to go through downtown Tacoma.
Can you dress up for that tour?
Absolutely.
And then tell us about your expansion into the Tri-Cities and Olympia, because these are some, I mean, Olympia maybe you've been doing for a while, but Tri-Cities is the new branch.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I am a Pacific Northwest guy. I grew up in Spokane and Leavenworth, and then eventually went to high school in the Tri-Cities. So I'm very much Eastern Washington. And I always wanted to have a presence out there. I feel like Eastern Washington, not dissimilar to Tacoma, has this undeserved reputation of being yucky. And so people are like, oh, Eastern Washington, blah. But I don't want that to be the case.
Sure.
So I just started offering some experiences over there. And American Cruise Lines does their Columbia River experience.
Ooh.
So we provide guides for that as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So when they come to Richland, we take them all over, all through wine country, down to Pendleton. We talk about the Manhattan Project and Kennewick Man, and just so much out in that region.
Oh my goodness. You are really getting serious about this.
Yeah.
That's like having a bus and everything, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Class C driver's license and all that.
Wow.
Kind of stuff are happening. Wow.
That sounds fascinating.
Throwing some knowledge around. Look at you over here.
Do you have your Class C?
I don't know. Please, come on now. I got to keep something for later on.
All right. For when he's bored.
Yeah. I think I'll do my commercial driver's license this week.
Nothing else going on.
Do you have any plans for any more expansions?
I do. I do, unfortunately.
Can you share those with us here?
Yeah, I hope to be in Spokane soon.
Ooh.
And then I'm going back to Leavenworth.
That'll be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Back to my roots. And then, yeah. Oh, Olympia. We do Olympia as well.
Sure.
But I work with this amazing author down there, a guy named Ira, who's written so many books about like haunted experiences in Puget Sound.
What's his full name?
Ira Kitzmacher. And yeah, he does an amazing Olympia tour down there.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'll have to go take that one too. Well, you can go to prettygreedytours.com to book a tour. And if you want 10% off your next booking, you head to our website at rainydayrabbitholes.com where you can enter your email for a discount code.
Since Chris might be our favorite current taco man or Tacoman, he competes with Michael Sullivan for that title, though, with us. We thought he would be the perfect person to give us a short story about some of our favorite past Tacomans, the Blackwells. Well, Chris, it's time to hand over the reins to you. Tell us about this historic family.
The Blackwells are very problematic for me because they are not problematic enough.
Oh.
Well, that's unusual given Tacoma's past.
I know. And it keeps me up at night. I was invited to do a tour of the Blackwell Mansion.
Which we missed, unfortunately.
And I am eternally sad for that. It's a beautiful home right there on Broadway, mm-hmm. right next to the YWCA. And when I first got the offer to lead that tour, I had to figure out more about the Blackwells because I'd never heard about them before. And the more that I looked into them, the more I was like, oh my God, they were involved in almost every first of Tacoma as a city, but you don't ever hear anything about them. And then the more that I dug into their past, the more I realized they had just kept doing like good things. You know what I mean? But I'm so suspicious of that.
Right.
I feel like every day I wake up and someone else, they're like, oh, yeah, I know you thought he was a great guy, but turns out he put sacks of puppies in the dryer. And you're like, oh. And I just have my like nativity calendar of celebrities that turn out to be douchebags. And so I was constantly just waiting for the moment where the Blackwells disappointed me. And it has yet to happen. And it's to the point now where I'm very nervous because they did so many great things. Like they were adamant and vocal against the Chinese expulsion. They tried to save people during the expulsion of Chinese nationals from Tacoma. They established the Humane Society. They rescued a black bear. They took in orphans and widows. They mortgaged their entire savings just to take care of people during the financial collapse of Tacoma. They adopted children after they never had any of their own. Like, it just gets weirder and weirder.
So has anybody ever dug up their backyard just to see if there were bodies back there? Because
yeah,
this is a little nothing. Dorothea Puente
it's
taking people in and then...
Terrifying. Well, and that was the thing. So the Blackwells, they built their luxurious mansion, right? It was the grandest in Tacoma when it was built in 1891 and lived in it, just William and Alice Blackwell, until they both died. And then it got turned over to the YWCA and was used as a refuge for women for the next 50 years.
Okay.
Was that in the will to be?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So let's rewind a little. William and Alice never had children of their own. And it's never really discussed why that happened, if they were incapable or what, but they didn't. But Alice Blackwell's sister was a widow, and she had 5 kids and a farm. So at one point, William and Alice went out to see her and then offered to take care of the 2 youngest, Ruby and Ethel Pearl, and then eventually adopted them.
Oh, wow.
Like raised them as their own and then legally adopted them into the family. And Ruby, the youngest, she lived to be 103.
Holy cow.
She died in 1979 in Tacoma, never married, lived her whole life as a school teacher, and then just like... The stuff that she did contributed so much to the story of Tacoma.
So these are truly good people.
Yes.
Yet they had the money and the power. You don't see that coming out clean often.
So they were so rich. They were the first people to arrive in Tacoma by train.
Mm-hmm.
And William had originally been in the hospitality industry back east in New York. And then he enlists during the Civil War. He's in the 25th Infantry. He serves as a quartermaster, pretty successful military career. He not only contracts tuberculosis at one point and survives,
wow,
but he gets shot through the lung.
Yikes.
In Antietam. And then recovers.
Like in that crazy day and age.
Yeah, like a freaking pre-antibiotics.
Right.
Right. Like,
when, what did Allison say? You got ghosts in your blood? Do some cocaine about it.
That needs to be a t-shirt yesterday.
I think we do need to make that. You got ghosts in your blood? Do some cocaine about it.
And that didn't slow him down enough. So he takes a bullet through the lung and then goes on to be the manager at the grandest luxury hotel in Chicago, but has a hard time breathing. And the cold winters of Chicago don't agree with his ravaged lung. So he and Alice move out to Washington, Kalama, of all places.
Oh, wow.
I know, where he runs the railroad hotel there. Does such a bang-up job on it that when the Northern Pacific takes over Tacoma, they're like, William Blackwell, that's our guy. And so William and Alice get on the first passenger train, just them and their furniture, arrive to Tacoma as the track is being finished.
Wow.
Okay, so I have a thought.
Okay.
Any involvement with the Northern Pacific Railroad? That's where you can start to maybe question if there's an... I'm looking for anything salacious, just because the Northern Pacific Railroad did so many...
salacious things.
Underhanded, dirty, dastardly deeds as, you know, the stealing of the land and stuff like that from the government and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so, but so sounds like maybe they didn't.
For example, as the Puyallup tribe is being evicted from their traditional homeland, Treaty of Medicine Creek, and then the Puget Sound Treaty Wars... and relocated to an ever-shrinking reservation, the Blackwells end up buying as many Puyallup baskets as they can, the traditional woven baskets by the Puyallup tribe, and then curate them in this collection as that practice is being essentially like made illegal so that no tradition can continue.
Wow, okay.
That collection that the Blackwells end up preserving from destruction goes on to be donated by Ruby Blackwell to the Washington State Archives, where it's now the largest part of their traditional collection, and is the baskets that go on to inspire Dale Chihuly to create the style of art that he does.
Holy cow.
Wow.
So yeah, it continues on even today then.
So anytime you see one of those asymmetrical baskets that Chihuly does, the sort of like C-form stuff, the story is that he was inspired on this trip in the 70s when he saw the baskets in the collection down there on a field trip. And he was like, oh my God, I should be doing this. The Puyallup tradition continues in the area, due in some part to the Blackwells preserving it from destruction.
Do you know if they took a stance about the relocation of the indigenous peoples?
Yeah, they were against it.
Wow.
They thought that the Treaty of Medicine Creek was improperly executed, which, hell yeah, it was.
Sure, yeah.
But that's a
wow,
bold mindset for the
absolutely
1800s.
Absolutely.
And yeah, during the Chinese expulsion in 1885, the Blackwells were vocal against it, which is the kind of thing that would get your house firebombed.
Absolutely.
Like people used to have their property burned down for just like selling a sack of flour to a Chinese national on their way out of town. Just spooky level of humanitarian concern.
Yeah, they were pretty progressive for the era, it sounds like.
Did they experience any consequences in society or in their businesses because of their beliefs?
Not that I can tell. One part is they were beloved. Alice Blackwell maintained a garden. She had the first garden in Tacoma where she raised vegetables and fruits and flowers. And during the financial collapse in 1893, she leveraged her garden as the first sort of food kitchen for the city. So she was just feeding the impoverished masses.
That is so crazy.
So that's one part. They were beloved. Two, I think people were scared of William Blackwell. He was, I mean, dude took a bullet through the lung.
Right.
And there are some really impressive stories about him enforcing the law of the hotel. Like they had a 2-drink maximum at the railroad hotel, and some like rich elites tried to test him on that. And he was like, that's hilarious. But if I ever see you in my hotel again, it's going to be without your head after I remove it with a shotgun.
Like, oh my gosh.
So take us back to, they've left Kalama and the railroad hotel. which I got to go back to the McMinimans there and see if they have any mention of the Blackwells in Kalama. I don't know. Have you
They
checked?
Might. So right where the McMinimans is in Kalama is the bar that William Blackwell curated, in a way. So when he was running the hotel for the railroad down there, he had a rule that you couldn't drink in town. The railroad's like, company town, you can't drink here.
Okay.
So they anchored a barge out in the river and then served drinks on it. So you could get rowed out to the barge, you could drink, and when you were sober, you could come back to shore.
That's amazing. I love that.
So the river, maritime laws, even on the river.
Yeah.
Huh?
Like, no piracy, but yeah. So after he leaves that post, they arrive here in Tacoma and they run the Blackwell Hotel, which was right at the bottom of the hill from where Stadium High School is today.
So I think that's where I've heard the Blackwells mentioned before, was that. And then there was something that ended up being called Blackwell Point, right?
Yeah. Well, and they had their name originally on a lot of different things. He helped establish the first bank in Tacoma. They were instrumental with Alan C. Mason in curating a library in town. At one point, a drunk logger brought a black bear cub into town and was just whipping it to make it perform. Aww. And William went out, took the cub, and then helped found the Humane Society in Tacoma.
That's incredible.
I know. So they were attached to everything, but during the financial collapse of 1893, they lost the whole fortune because it was tied up in the railroad. Mm. And what they did retain, they gave to people to make sure that they didn't go into bankruptcy. And from there, the girls, Ruby and Ethel, baked cookies every day and then sold them to help fund the household. William went down to the shore to dig for clams, which they sold. And then Alice was running the food kitchen with her garden. And everything that they had founded and attached, the name got removed from as someone wealthy bought it and just kind of erased the legacy of the Blackwells while they were just down on the streets trying to keep Tacoma city lights on.
They dove right into the suffering with everybody else. They could have hoarded that money or whatever they had left after the collapse, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They did none of that. They, you know, saw everyone suffering in the community and they said, what can we do to help? We'll get right down there with you.
And I mean, there's no better illustration of how extreme that was than right after the collapse, right? William gets on a train and then goes back east to see if he can secure some loans to help rebuild Tacoma. And their neighbor, a few houses down, this guy named Paul, probably like the same socioeconomic status, also lost everything, does get a loan of, I think, like $35,000 at the time.
That was a lot of money back then.
Oh, yeah.
It was like $1.2 million or something.
It was a ton of money. Yeah. And he gambles it away in a single day.
A day.
He goes back to his mansion, writes a letter to his mistress, and then tries to set the house on fire, and he shoots himself in the head. William gets denied his loan, so he sends a telegraph back home. Alice has to go down to their office warehouse building that they had just sold, and they had this drawer that they kept of currency that had been destroyed that they were going to send back to the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And so she finds a $2 bill, pastes it together, and then buys him a train ticket home so that he can come back and start digging clams to take care of the household.
Oh my goodness.
And they bounce back because he eventually gets hired to be the manager of the Grand Tacoma Hotel, the one that used to be on A Street. But like, it was unique, right? Like, while everyone else was writing goodbyes to their mistresses and offing themselves, this guy was over here just like trying to make it happen.
Well, I'm going to back you up a little bit
to
before the financial collapse. And tell us a little bit about them in the height of their wealth and influence and power in Tacoma.
The Blackwells were avid hospitality icons. Not only did they run the hotel and entertain every first guests of Tacoma, but when they built the Blackwell Mansion, they used it as this hub for entertaining artists. Two of the most famous people that dined at the Blackwell Mansion with them were Rudyard Kipling and Mark Twain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so anytime notable elites would come to Tacoma, they would dine with the Blackwells. And William in particular was an avid art collector. So it was not uncommon at the time for scenic painters to come out under commission of the railroad. And they would do like scenes of Tacoma. And William, every time there was an artist in town, would commission a piece of art for the Blackwell Mansion. And he just kept this massive library of art and literature and sculpture and really anything local. He was an avid patron of small-scale artists in the area.
He's always looking out for the little guy.
Yeah, right. And so, like, for me, I'm like, but what was the
gain? Right, right. What was your gain? Somebody who's powerful and rich, why did they take the time, energy, and effort to always be looking out for everyone in society and including the health of their own community?
Well, especially at a time in the late 1800s where there really was this big push for capitalism and increasing your own personal wealth. And in that, doesn't matter if you step on the little man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so they were agents of the railroad, the mechanism of manifest destiny.
Right.
And still managed to somehow bring this humanitarian level into Tacoma at a time where it was very uncommon. And it's bizarre. But by all accounts, you know, Ruby, for example, great litmus test. She's raised by the Blackwells, has very positive memories about them, dies at 103. And before she goes, she dictates this book called A Girl in Washington Territory. And you can get it on Amazon. But she just kind of recounts her childhood coming from the home where she did and then being raised by the Blackwells. And she never forgave her mom. Ruby Blackwell saw her mom one other time, but always blamed her for just giving her away.
Oh.
Which, fair. But was always so, had such positive memories and recollections of William and Alice. William in particular. She always used to call Alice, what was it? Deeply sweet and very overweight.
Oh.
Which, roasted.
Oh.
Also, not
poor
true.
Alice.
Maybe for the 1890s.
I was going to say,
but like,
that's normal now. But
yeah. Didn't I have the consumption, boss? Shocking. And I've never been able to find anything bad about them, which makes me nervous.
So does Ruby, and what was the other one's name?
Ethel Pearl.
Ethel Pearl, that's right. Do they have children?
Ethel Pearl went on to marry a tailor in the New York area and did have children. Ruby never married, never had children, and she gave the whole collection away to the museum. And then sort of founded other altruistic humanitarian societies after her dad passed away.
So she stayed in the Northwest.
She did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she stayed in the Tacoma area for the rest of her life. Didn't take over the Blackwell Mansion. She and William discussed that it would be better serving as a YWCA, which is what it was. And then in, like, I think 1928, they built the brick building that's next to it. But from 1924 until 1974, I think, the Blackwell Mansion was part of the YWCA.
Whatever happened to that large collection of art?
It's all in the Washington State Archive right now, just across from Stadium High School, or in the Washington State History Museum. You'll need an appointment. It's like the Fort Knox of history.
Yes.
Wow.
Can I drop names like Michael Sullivan and help me get in?
And Chris Stoddinger.
I don't know that it'll help. It's the first place I learned the word ephemera.
Explain, please.
Oh, ephemera. The historic community uses this word all the time and just assumes people know what it is. It's things like pamphlets or posters that existed for this brief moment in time, but weren't meant to last forever, like a book. It's something that was made for a moment. Right. It was very ephemeral.
So like a coming event.
Yeah, like a flyer for
a
parade.
Yeah, so they'll have like all sorts of posters inside the archives now that we're talking about, like a rodeo or a roundup or an apple festival, something in Washington's history. And it goes under the context of ephemera.
At the height of their wealth and power and influence in Tacoma, mm-hmm. would you say they were the most well-known, most influential family in Tacoma at that time?
They were definitely in the top five. William was a member of the territorial legislature for his district. They helped found theaters and banks and societies, and they were involved in everything. Like, they were the first family in Tacoma to start promoting Tacoma. You know, to arrive on that train and then open the hotel, they were the first faces you would have seen arriving here to the city. And there, I don't think it was anyone in town that wouldn't have known the Blackwells. But today, they don't get the same luster because they're not on a street or a tower or anything like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Which there's something meaningful about that to me, that they were like, just doing the work right. Without the fame.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't about the fame. It wasn't about power. It wasn't about that. It was about building a community.
Yeah. And I mean, they had obvious advantages at the mm-hmm. time being agents of the railroad, but they also weren't like wealthy investors. They didn't have a ton of clout, or they weren't warehousers or anything. They just got kind of lucky by always doing the thing that they needed to where they were.
Do you know how they felt about Seattle at the time? Because I know there was a huge rivalry between Tacoma and Seattle. You know, George Francis Train's famous toast, Seattle, Seattle, death rattle, rattle death rattle. Rattle, Tacoma, Tacoma, aroma, aroma. And that was before the Tacoma aroma. Uh-huh. Might have smelled nice back then.
back when we smelled like cedar and dreams. Yeah, no, Alice Blackwell actually has a paper talking about what a garbage den Seattle is.
Awesome. I need to see this.
And yeah, just promoting the fact that Tacoma is this up-and-coming city where you can establish a business or create something new. And Seattle being this backwoods, just den of refuse with toilets that explode, you know, really good stuff.
A den of vice and villainy.
Oh, and, you know, to her credit, she wasn't wrong.
No, unfortunately, Tacoma was so slow on getting into the Alaska Gold Rush. They were like, it'll peter out. And so Seattle's like, nope, we're going to get into this. And I think that's where Seattle kind of pulled ahead. And
well, they also, I mean, I don't want to throw shade, but Seattle was very comfortable bringing in a ton of prostitutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Making sure that they were the stop that the ships went to as they were coming in with all their gold.
Mm-hmm. You got to have some entertainment.
That's what I was thinking. between the Blackwells seemed to have character mattered.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't... It wasn't just about the money. Character mattered.
No,
for the
yeah.
community and for what they were doing. And
at every point, they chose that route. They wanted to do the right thing instead of the lucrative thing.
Right, right.
The collapse of 1893 has happened. Mm-hmm. They're struggling. William's out there digging up clams to sell, I'm assuming,
yeah.
to try to make it together. So how did they scrape back from that collapse? Because you would think they would have lost the mansion, they would have lost everything, but they hung on to the mansion.
Yeah, well, Alice did. It's her house.
Okay.
So William lost everything. You know, he was the one who had the financial ties to the railroad when the railroad basically collapses in 1893 and all that money disappears. They don't lose the house because it's not his. Mm. Alice owned it outright.
And as a woman.
I know.
Amazing. Wow. I didn't know that was allowed.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, every chapter you're like, oh dear. Oh my. Oh, what?
They're very progressive.
Yes. And they were. They really were. Like, it was a very equitable relationship between them. And William always took into consideration Alice's opinions on these business matters. And they ran the hotel together. And then eventually bounce back because he gets hired as the manager for the Grand Tacoma Hotel, the one okay. that burns down in 1938. And there's speculation that he was actually responsible for Jack the Black Bear. Do you guys know him?
No, I'm not familiar.
Jack the Black Bear. He was a black bear cub that wandered into Tacoma. I think he was abducted by a drunken lumberjack, as usual.
Those drunken lumberjacks just abducting bears.
It was an epidemic. And he's raised in the back of the Tacoma Hotel.
Aww.
And famously would just hang out in the garden and then would go into the hotel and drink beer.
Oh, my goodness.
People loved him.
I bet.
I would also love this.
He would drink the beer, and sometimes he would get rowdy, and he'd wander around town,
no.
and you'd have to roll a barrel. if you rolled a barrel after him, that was the only thing that would scare him enough to go back to his like enclosure, which he just walked out of anyhow. But
it was really more of a suggestion.
Yeah, it was like, you could live here. But I'm so sorry to tell you this. A rookie cop mistook him for a wild black bear and shot him.
Then
they barbecued him.
Oh, wow.
And then had his pelt taxidermied and then given back to the hotel.
Oof.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. They didn't let him go to waste. He didn't go to waste.
They didn't. I know. So, I mean, it depends where you are in that story. Yeah. Jack the Black Bear, famous in Tacoma. It said that his spirit still wanders around Firefighters Park. And the mystery of Jack the Black Bear is overwhelming because the taxidermied bear didn't get destroyed in the 1938 fire.
Wow. Really?
And it went at one point to the archives, the Washington State one we were talking about. Yes. But they don't know where it is. I've asked, and nobody has a record of when it vanished from the collection. But it's not there currently, and nobody knows where Jack the Black Bear went.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Somebody has stolen this bear.
I was just thinking. It survived the fire. Oh, good. It's still around.
Somewhere. He's just wandering around.
And then the problem with that, too, is somebody probably stole it, put it in their house, and then when they pass away, they're... survivors may Chucked not it. Know what it is and chuck that thing because they might be like, ew, gross. Aw, that's a sad story to what started out as a cute story.
So sorry. Well, if it
Thanks.
Makes you feel
a drunken
better,
bear.
Somewhere there's a grizzly bear that escaped in Tacoma and then was never found. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Point Defiance Park had a bear pit. It was like their first, they're like, we'll try a zoo. Let's just dig a pit for this bear. And in the early 1900s, they put a grizzly bear in it, and he almost immediately just got over the fence and then disappeared into North Tacoma. And they never found him again.
Wow.
And I like to tell myself at night that he was a very smart bear who just started dressing in people clothes and then raised a family in North Tacoma and like got elected to city council and just lived out the rest of his days in a bungalow.
Blackwell's neighbor.
Yeah. I think maybe he swam to Vashon then went on to eat some hippies.
There's a lot of speculation as to where he could have disappeared. Mm-hmm. But also it's a freaking grizzly bear.
Right. Yeah. Not easy to hide.
No.
No, not too easy. Well, let's get back to the black wells. We digress again. Okay, so he's manager of
the Tacoma Hotel.
The Tacoma Hotel.
Runs that tight ship, keeps it like a well-wound clock. Everything is great. And then 1922, a few years after Alice Blackwell dies, William Blackwell dies. Both of them pass away in the master bedroom of the Blackwell Mansion. And then it just is done. Their legacy is now gone.
The mansion's still there.
The mansion is still there. And they just give the power back to the people. There's no like lofty monument they want built or anything. William's like, yep, use this bad boy as a women's refuge, and then cashes out and then he's gone.
Hey there, Rabbit Holes listeners. Are you loving the twists and turns of our stories but wish you could skip the ads? Well, we've got some great news for you. By joining our Patreon, you can listen to our episodes completely ad-free. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and more. It's a great way to support the show and dive even deeper into the rabbit holes with us. Just head over to patreon.com/rainydayrabbitholes to join the fun. Thanks for your support, and see you down the rabbit hole.
So what would you say their legacy is today?
I think that when you experience Tacoma, you are at all times living in the world the Blackwells wanted. When you see something equitable being done, when you hear about the Humane Society, when you can bank with confidence, when you see any of the theaters still in operation here, or Chihuly's Art, or a Puyallup Basket, or anything that Tacoma is now, that was built on the foundation that the Blackwells established. So they don't have their name on anything, but I think they were instrumental in creating the Tacoma that we all experience now.
Right.
And there's something, I feel like an obligation to keep their story alive because they did so much for so little recognition.
Right, right. They were very altruistic.
They were. Mm-hmm. They were. And, you know, the institutions that they established are still here. Like, I just worked with the Humane Society at the beginning of this year because it was a big anniversary for them. And, you know, without the work of William Blackwell, it wouldn't have existed. And when the Humane Society was founded here, it was in that period where the Humane Society was literally about being more human. It wasn't just a pet adoption center in the earliest days. The Humane Society was established as, these are things you can do to be more humane. It was like, don't beat your children. Stop shooting animals. Right. It was like, if there's a pig wandering on the street, don't just whip it.
Right.
So they were so incredibly progressive. I mean, they were progressive for now.
Right.
Right.
It's to the point where I'm like, were they time travelers? Is that why they never had kids? Because the science of time travel rendered them sterile? I don't know.
maybe they didn't actually die. Maybe they moved into another dimension to go do good somewhere else.
Well, I was just thinking their kids are probably in a different dimension. They did have...
There you go. Or let's hope they were reincarnated as another pair of altruistic people, and hopefully they found themselves again.
They're in the current time, and they went back in time in order to create the Tacoma, change things. That's what happened.
There you go.
And now they're in a loop.
Yeah.
it gets messy. The more time travel you open up, it gets messy.
Now, tell me, did this building that became Stadium High, did they have any connection to that? Because I keep hearing Blackwell Point being associated with Stadium High.
These poor people. Yeah. So Blackwell Point, you know, base of where Stadium High School is today, right there, currently Schuster Parkway, but used to be the Blackwell Hotel.
Okay.
Because it was a combination hotel and train station. So the train would pull up to the side of it, and it was also a dock, so a ship could get there. When they move out of the Blackwell Hotel, they build this beautiful luxury mansion right up the hill from it. And then the Northern Pacific was like, oh my gosh, you chose a great view. We want it. And so they demolished their mansion halfway through construction and built Stadium High School on top of it.
Okay.
So that building was supposed to be the first hotel of grandeur for the railroad. Mm. Right. But that never happens because of the financial collapse in 1893. And then it turns into a high school by 1906. But that is the site of the first Blackwell Mansion.
Wow. So is the Blackwell Mansion really the only remnant, like major remnant of their legacy in, I mean, their physical legacy in Tacoma?
There's nothing else that the Blackwells had constructed that remains other than their mansion. But the mansion's immaculate. It's the exact mansion that they had built in 1891. The wood is the same. The layout is the same, with the exception of the fact that they don't have the kitchen anymore. It's almost identical.
Who owns the mansion now?
A gentleman named Robert, who bought it in 2016 from real estate developer and guy with the coolest name, Dusty Trail. back in the 1970s, the YWCA was going to demolish the mansion because they couldn't afford to maintain it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then Dusty Trail rode in at the 11th hour.
On a horse. With a cowboy hat. I don't care that it was probably like in the 1970s. So it was probably like a Chevy Nova or a Buick or something.
The 70s was still the Wild West in Tacoma.
So but I imagine a horse.
I'm sure the horse was there. And he bought it. And he was the first guy who got it on the historic register. He turned it into leased office space. And then he and his girlfriend, I believe, lived on the top floor in the attic, which is now an Airbnb.
Ooh. You can stay there?
You can stay in the Blackwell Mansion.
Jody.
Yes.
For Christmas, I want a stay in the Blackwell Mansion.
You can dine in the room where Mark Twain entertained the crowds of Tacoma.
Oh my goodness. I'll put on my worst Mark Twain impression.
You can get a tattoo in the room where William and Alice Blackwell died.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
There's a tattoo studio in there.
Is there really?
There really is. So
where they died.
Yeah.
So it's still, is it still a co-working space down below? Okay.
So when Robert bought it in 2016, he maintained it as a leased office space. God, it's so exquisite. It's like 9,000 square feet. And it's got Honduran mahogany,
wow.
Minnesota white oak, this enormous portrait window. It's just a beautiful space.
How long did it take to build?
Oh, less than a year.
Wow.
And then they, of course, being them, opened it on Thanksgiving and hosted a big Thanksgiving feast for everybody there. Like, they were putting their furniture inside. And they're like, of course we'll cook for 50 people.
Wow. Wow.
I think we've kept you long enough, so.
Thank you guys so much for having
thank
me over.
Thank you so much for coming here. Yeah, thank you for this incredible tour through the Blackwells. Story we have never heard of before.
And they seem like my kind of people.
I know, they seem amazing. So I encourage everybody to go out there and do more reading up on the Blackwells. And we definitely encourage everybody to go and take a tour from Pretty Gritty Tours. If you live in Washington, you can make a special trip to Tacoma to do it, or... if you live in Eastern Washington, you can go take a tour in the Tri-Cities. And soon, Leavenworth, Spokane would be amazing. Or down if you're in the South End, Olympia. Have you thought about expanding out of the state into the Portland region or anything like that?
Yeah, it haunts my dreams. I imagine it'll be a thing that happens eventually, but don't give me an ulcer.
You need
today.
To clone yourself yeah, first.
Give me just a moment.
So you can go to prettygrittytours.com and explore their tours there. Make sure you book early because they do book up. I was very disappointed when my brother was here that the tour I wanted to go on was all booked up.
Man. Do not wait till the last minute.
And remember, you can head to our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com. At the top of the page, there's a box for you to put your email in, and we will email you a 10% off code to book. And then you can also follow Chris on TikTok. What's your TikTok?
It's all Pretty Gritty Tours.
Everything. He knows his branding.
TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not on X. Sorry.
YouTube?
On YouTube? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. YouTube is a great place because he has long-form videos there as well. Mm-hmm. His Maury Island incident video was the one that sent me down the Fred Christman rabbit hole, unfortunately.
What a dude.
Oh, my gosh. And his TikToks are fantastic. Your one on the Tacoma Roma was so helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, lots of good knowledge in there for you. Really happy to help.
So I'll include all of these links in our show notes and on our website. And you could also comment on our Facebook posts or email us and tell us what story Chris should bring to us next time he comes on the show. Because we're going to have you back if you will grace us with your presence again.
I'd be delighted just to see the room again, if nothing else.
Well, then you can see what we do for artwork on our new walls. These are new walls, these ones here. So, Jody, did you have any more questions or comments for Chris?
No. Just thank you so much for joining us and letting us have our dreams come true, or officially stalking you into our studio.
We lured you into the studio with a cup of tea.
My pleasure. We'll do some haunted stuff next time. I got some good murder stories for
you. I would love that.
Great.
I would love that. Well, everyone, please share the show with your friends and family members. And remember, we have a Patreon. So right now we have two bonus episodes up. We have the Bigfoot porn. Excuse me.
Erotica.
That you may or may not want to listen to. But I also just released a lovely episode about Hiram Gill, one of Seattle's most corrupt mayors, who helped to build a 500-room brothel. And so if you go to our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com, scroll down to the bottom of any of the pages, and there is a nice support us button right there. You could also support us by buying some merch. So we've just added our new Bigfoot podcast, our Pod Squatch logo on there. You can get it in a tumbler, tote, tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and we'll add some more stuff. I'm going to add a candle soon, too. So go to our website. I don't know yet. I just saw that they have candles on there.
I hear Bigfoot doesn't smell well.
I know. And as always, you can go to our social media and follow us and comment, send suggestions to Shay at rainydayrabbitholes.com. That's S-H-E-A. All right, guys, we will see you next time. Big thanks again to Chris. Go take a tour. You're fantastic. All right, we're out of here.
See you down the rabbit hole.